All right, let's try that again. Good morning, Mayfair. It's good to see you this morning. Today is a very special day in the life of Mayfair Bible Church. It is a day of recognition, affirmation, and celebration as we highlight the work of our faithful God. The way I love to say it is faithfully faithful God by bringing us Pastor Adam and his family to Mayfair Bible Church. Therefore, because of the magnitude of the solemn occasion, I thought it was not only apropos, but also suitable to read the final words of the age warrior, the Apostle Paul, the last words that he penned by the inspiration of Scripture in the Bible, as he said that he was ready to pour his life, as he said that he fought the good fight, as he said that I ran the race, and he firmly kept the faith. I thought it was more than apropos for us to look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. It's going to be on the screen, chapter 4, verse 1. And this is what the Word of God says for the edification of God's people. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. I want to say that again. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Now we're going to say a prayer together. And I heard from our interpreter that when we do the prayer and you repeat after me, the Spanish speakers who are listening in Spanish, they don't get to repeat because by the time we repeat it, we're done. And I thought it was fair that they get a chance to do it too. Do you agree? So we'll pray in English. We'll repeat in English. And those of you who prefer to repeat in Spanish, God is bilingual. Let's pray. Repeat after me this short but powerful prayer. Lord, speak to us. We will listen and we will obey. In Jesus' name, amen. Now in Spanish, en español. Señor, háblanos. Escucharemos y obedeceremos en el nombre de Jesús. Amen. That wasn't too bad. I think everybody got the last word, amen. Thank you so much for being such a loving church and including us in worship. I've entitled this short message so you know what's going on. I'm going to preach the first part of the message. We'll sing again, and then Pastor Crown, that's what his name means in Greek, Pastor Steve was going to come up and wrap it up for us, okay? So you know that. I want you to be aware. But I've entitled this short, very short message, Preach the Word. It comes right from our text. I thought it was very good. But I need to confess to you, if the truth be known, I was going to entitle it, Pastoring Isn't for Cowards. But then I thought James Dobson might sue me because he wrote a book, Parenting Isn't for Cowards. But pastoring isn't for cowards. Some people, they are those who have this erroneous view, this idea, this concept that being a pastor is easy. Have you ever met some of them? They have this idea that it's easy. They'll tell you things like, after all, pastor only works one day. Can I get a witness? And I'm sure you probably heard the story about the kids in school who were having this game or competition where they're saying, my dad's stronger than your dad. My dad's smarter than your dad. My dad. So that was going on in school, and a teacher was listening to his three kids, one of whom was a pastor's kid. So be advised, a pastor's kid, you never know what they're going to say. And they were going at it, and one said, my dad makes more money than your dad. And the other one said, my dad makes more money than your dad. And at that moment, the teacher shows up and says, what's going on? What is this game going on? I said, no, my dad makes more. Can you tell me why your dad makes more money? Well, my dad is a doctor, and he makes a lot of money. The other kid said, nuh-uh, my dad is a lawyer, And he makes way more money than your dad. And then the pastor kid comes up and says, my dad is a pastor. And on Sunday morning, 12 deacons are not enough to collect all the money that he makes. Believe it or not, some people have that idea. But pastors are not in it for the income. They're in it for the outcome. Amen? This morning, I want to quickly share with you three things that I think are essential. I want to share three things regarding this solemn and serious calling of preaching God's ineffable word. Number one, I want to share with you this. Preach God's word conscientiously. Preach it conscientiously. Look at verse 1. It says, I charge you. Paul is telling Timothy, his son in the faith, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, to preach, say it with me, the word. Preach the word. Indeed, this is Paul's final charge to his son in the faith, Timothy. But just in case you think of, well, Pastor Garcia, I'm not Timothy. Pastor Garcia, you may be preaching to the pastors in the church. Just in case you may be thinking, this does not apply to me, Brother Angel, let me just quickly share with you what John MacArthur said about this. Listen quickly. Although directed first of all to Timothy, Paul's commission in 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5, applies to every minister of the gospel in every age, every place, in every circumstance. I know what you think. See, Pastor, I was right. It's for every minister, for every pastor, not for me. Hold on. Put on your spiritual seatbelt. We're not done. Then he says, in a broader sense, in a broader way, it could be applied to every faithful believer because it is essential for every congregation to know and understand this charge. Churches are responsible under God and with God to hold their pastors accountable to these divine precepts. I said, Pastor Garcia, that sounds so scholarly. Can you break that down for me? Well, I needed help doing so, and I'm going to have an illustration for you in just a second. But let me see if I could just put this in a way that we could all grasp it, that we'd all comprehend it. Paul is saying here, you need to be conscious. You need to be aware of the fact that this charge, be conscious of this charge, because one day, soon or very soon, one day you will give an account to the living God for your preaching. Oh, I didn't know that. And pastor, teacher, you will face, according to James chapter 3, verse 1, a stricter judgment. You need to comprehend the solemnity of this charge is interwoven, interconnected to the awesomeness, to the majesty, to the holiness of our God. See, I'm not preaching my word. I'm preaching God's word. See, it's not about me. It's about Jesus, the Savior, the Lord, the judge of all the earth. So we need to understand that we're gonna be preaching the word of the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the one who will judge the living and the dead. You need to understand that preaching is carried out in the presence of God. And this accountability is unique to the Son of God, not as Lord and Savior, but as judge. Now, before you get really, I'm never going to preach. Don't ever ask me to preach. It's not just about accountability before God and giving an account. It's also about the fact that the Lord is with you. The Lord would gift you. The Lord would empower you. The Lord would use you when you seek him. So don't be afraid. Now, I know some of you are still trying to digest this. So I came up with this illustration. And I learned this from my daughters. I've learned so much from pastors' kids. Imagine for just a second, or maybe I could ask you, how many of you loved when your college, university teacher wrote on the syllabus, I'm going to try to imitate their words, and they wrote on their syllabus this, at the end of this course, you will write a term paper, and it will be worth 90% of your grade. Anybody remember something like that? Am I the only one who went through that? I mean, that was just, I better get this paper right. If I flunk this paper, there goes my class. There goes my credit. Well, keep that in mind. How you used to panic when you had to write those term papers, and the long nights and hours and the research and the sweat and the tears and the phone calls and looking in Google and all those places. I know, I've been watching you. Keep that in mind. Now imagine having to write not a term paper, but a message from the Bible, a sermon in front of 350 people that is going to be graded by God. Huh? Imagine that. That is it in and of itself. Every week, sometimes once a week, sometimes twice a week, twice a Sunday. Be ready because you are preaching God's word. Now, when our girls lived in our house and I was getting ready to preach, they could just watch me. I just went into this mode, understanding I'm preaching God's word. I'm responsible to be faithful to the text. I'm responsible to preach what God wants me to preach, not my opinion. And they would look at me and then look at my wife and say, "What's wrong with Daddy, Mom?" And Adeline would say, "He's pregnant with a sermon." After all, it's called sermon delivery, right? I mean, it would be upon me. But this is the awesome charge given to the pastor by God, by the Apostle Paul. Preach the word as if you're preaching right in the presence of God. Preach the word as if God, the judge of all the earth, Jesus, who would judge the living and the dead, will hold you to account one day. Number two, not only preach the word conscientiously, but preach the word continuously. Look at verse 2. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. And now, in all my years in my Christian walk with the Lord, I've only met one pastor who didn't like to preach. Honestly. I only met one pastor who looked for ways to avoid preaching. I never understood that. And even to this day, I still don't get it. I think preaching is such a high and holy calling. It's such a high and incredible, solemn responsibility that is for the glory of God, for the edification of the people of God, in the power of the Spirit of God that makes the church unstoppable. It is an incredible responsibility. C.S. Spurgeon, known in history as the greatest preacher, obviously not counting Jesus and the Apostle Paul, who ever lived, once said to young ministers, to young pastors, "If God has called you to be his preacher, don't stoop to be a king. If God called you to present this word, to preach his word, don't bow down to be a king. You're preaching the word of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Preach the word, not my opinion. Preach the word, not the most popular trend. Preach the word, not for people with itching ears, but to the Lord. Preach the word. Preach the infallible, inerrant, ineffable, inspired word of God." In this church, we call that the B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. La B-I-B-L-E es el libro para mí. The Bible, God's word, that's what we do. There needs to be a readiness. Paul is saying here, be ready. There needs to be a preparedness. In season, out of season. You know what that means? When it's convenient and it's not convenient. Whether you want to or not, if you've been called by God, obey the Lord. It says in season and out of season. I am telling you, there are times that I don't want to preach because I preach anyway because I love preaching. But there are situations, like if you're doing a funeral for somebody who's lost, that's hard. That's not easy. Or if you're doing a funeral for a baby, I'm telling you, those things, they break my heart. I go visit people in hospital, and I feel like it's part of my life. It's not easy. And there you have to comfort the afflicted. And how many of you know the rest? Afflict the comforters. There you have to be faithful to preaching God's word in season and out of season, whether it's convenient or not. Now, it's Missy comes up, Missy. Last point. Not only do you have to preach the word conscientiously and continuously, look at verse 2b. Preach the word comprehensively. It says here, convince, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and teach. Now let me tell you what happens. And I think you know this already, so let me just remind you what happens when you preach the whole counsel of God, Old Testament, New Testament. When you do it systematically, when you do it verse by verse, line upon line, precept upon precept, you know what's happening? You reprove. That means you correct. God uses that to convince people. Not only do you reprove, correct, you rebuke by calling people to repentance, by calling people to flee from this perverse generation, to flee from sins and run into the hands of the living God who will judge the living and the dead. Pastor, but if I did that, some people are going to get mad. Let them get mad. People are going to get to the point that they don't like me anymore, and I like people liking me. I like people to like me too. I like you, you like me, we like each other. Great! But let me tell you, I'm here to please God, not people. I'm here to preach the word, whether it's convenient to me or not, in season and out of season. So I tell you, preach it. If they get mad, preach the word. Preach it. If they don't like you, preach it anyway. Keep on preaching. You don't stop preaching. You're not going to get to the end of your ministry. You're not going to get to the end of your life and say, well, I wish I preached the Bible less. Never is going to happen. Instead, you're going to say, I wish I preached the Bible more. Under shepherds must not allow exasperation to control us, but we must remember that Jesus is the great shepherd, lovingly holding us accountable to him. The history of this church, Mayfair Bible Church, how many of you know that Bible is there not by accident? It's there on purpose. The history of Mayfair Bible Church is that of preaching God's word, the Bible. We have once again been blessed by God to send us a pastor who loves the word, who is a man of the word and a man of prayer. So our dear pastor, we tell you, preach it, preach it, preach it. Preach it consciously, preach it comprehensively, and preach it continuously for the glory of our God.
Church family, will you stand? We're going to sing how Jesus is worthy. He's worthy of our praise. Let's sing. Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever breathe. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever say, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you, oh, we live for you, holy, there is no one like you, there is none beside you, open up my eyes in wonder, show above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever say, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you, oh, we live for you. when it's convenient and when it's not, for he is worthy. Sing with me. I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be. Come on, let's sing that again. I will build.
I have made a mistake. You never follow Pastor Angel Luis Garcia Martinez. Next time he asks me, do you want to go second? I will say no. Yet. Nine. No way. Or in Spanish, no way, Jose. Thank you for bringing the word here. Pastor Angel, this is an interesting little passage here because it's directed to those who are going to preach the word. It's directed to those who are going to shepherd God's people. And so primarily, Pastor Adam, this message is directed toward you, but it has a lot of information for y'all to gain as well. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk to y'all, and then I'm going to talk to you. And when I talk to you, I'll be talking about them, all right? So you still want to pay attention. I never talk about people behind their back unless it's in front of their face, and that's what I'm going to do. And so you have a lot to learn about what we can be as a church and how we should be as the church of God when thinking about our pastor. And Pastor Adam, I have a charge for you as well. I'm just going to continue on in 2 Timothy verse 4, if you read with me. Verses 3 and 4, he says, for the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Paul wrote 2,000 years ago that the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. I'm going to go out on a limb and go on record and saying that that time has probably come. I think that time is here and now. So Pastor Adam, the obvious example is to not give way and to not preach unsound doctrine so that you might tickle ears. And this also applies to our elders as well, who have that spiritual calling to shepherd God's people. But there's a big part of this that actually is pointed toward you. Don't be like these people, right? Don't be like the people that Paul is writing Timothy about. And I include myself in this too, because we can all do that. But what he says then is, for y'all, tolerate sound doctrine. Put up with hard and good teaching. And I really have to be clear, because in our culture, I've realized something, that people don't know what that word tolerate means anymore. A lot of people think that I will tolerate things that I like. No, you, by definition, have to dislike something to tolerate it, okay? So what that means is that you will tolerate things you have disdain for. We tolerate Ohio State fans coming to our church. We hold them in disdain, but we tolerate them, all right? You don't tolerate ice cream, you tolerate cold syrup, cough syrup, right? You have to dislike it in order to tolerate. And if you do tolerate ice cream and you don't, or you do like cough syrup, please turn yourself in to the authorities. Because that's gross. So what that means is that Pastor Adam, Pastor Angel, and myself, we will say things that you don't like because the Bible says things you don't like. We will say things that you disagree with because the Bible says things that you disagree with. I've been confronted recently on something that I disagreed with the Bible about. You don't like to hear those things. And when you don't like to hear those things, your response should not be, well, I didn't like that, so I'm going to tell him off at the door. I didn't like that, and so I'm going to tell all my friends about how bad Mayfair Church is. I didn't like that, so I'm going to write an email, or I'm going to post on Twitter. When you hear those things, your response should be, I didn't like that. I wonder if it's true. I didn't like that. I'm going to search God's word to find out if I need to change or if the pastor needs to change. I didn't like that. I am going to pray and ask God to open my heart, and I will obey his direction. See, when we change our perspective, you're still not going to like some things that your pastors say to you. But it becomes a joyful experience of redemption and change and growth and an unbelievable life that you didn't know that you could have because you were always stuck on the other side of, I don't like that. We never break through, I don't like that. We never get to the great life that God has on the other side of that wall. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17 says, I'm going to turn there. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden. For that's of no benefit to you. Pastor Angel, you are right. We're going to give account one day to the Lord for the preaching that we give, for the sermons that we give and the messages that we craft. And we're also going to be giving an account to the Lord for the shepherding that we do, the elders that are here. You will be giving an account to the Lord for how you cared for the flock, for God's people. And Paul's response is, make it as easy as possible. And I'm going to echo that, all right? Make it as easy as possible for Pastor Adam. Accept sound doctrine. I don't like it. I'm going to learn. These people that he talks about, he says, accumulate for themselves multiple teachers to scratch their itching ears. And you might be familiar with that. If you haven't grown up in church, all that means is they say things I want to hear. And you know what? That's easier than ever, isn't it? You can hire a pastor, but that takes about a year and a half. But I can find 1,000 pastors on YouTube or Facebook or wherever. There's a whole lot of pastors out there who are super eager to get your ear and to get your attention. And they want to be known by millions of people. And a lot of them are good, godly men. And they just want to spread the word. And some of them have things that you want to hear. And if you only listen to those pastors, if you only follow those pastors on social media, if you only download those sermons that sound good to you, make you, you know, feel all special inside, and don't ever challenge you, then you will be accumulating these teachers who just want to scratch your ears, who just want to entertain you. Now, that doesn't mean, because I've seen the other side of this too in churches, that doesn't mean that if you don't go away feeling bad, then it wasn't a good sermon, okay? God's word has incredible truth, incredible hope. There is good news in this book, and we're delighted to talk about it and show you what God's life for you is, because we don't want to just live, we want to thrive in this church, okay? But if God's word never challenges you, if God's word never says, you know what, I've believed this my whole life, but I need to think about it. If it never makes you say that, then you might want to consider who you're listening to. God's word should challenge your ideas down to the very core. The end result of these people, it says, is they turn aside from sound teaching and they turn to myths. And there's a whole lot of interesting ways we can go with that, but there's a whole lot of people who are just stuck believing only the things that sound good, and if you don't have a source of truth bringing you back to reality, then you can end up believing whatever you want to believe, because nobody's challenging you. Nobody's saying, no, you want to rethink that, or that's not the right way. Don't be like these people. Now, Pastor Adam, verse 5 is for you. Now, make sure you pay attention, because I'm going to be talking about you. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. I'll be honest, in my sermon, I didn't get too much past the first one. Keep your head. That's a Greek word. It means stay sober-minded or to be self-controlled. But it's not talking necessarily about pumping iron or anything like that. That might be included in it. But I think the biggest thing that we struggle with as pastors is the tendency to get carried off by our feelings or other people's feelings. All right? So what I'm going to ask you to do is to be steady. It's a picture, this word, like a ship on the ocean. Have you ever watched those ridiculously scary videos of the cargo ships going like this over the waves, right? And it's the biggest storm you've ever seen, and it's this massive cargo ship, but because that ship is big, because that ship is strong, it just handles each and every wave. It is steady, even in the midst of the storm. That's what you need to be to shepherd a church, pastor, because there are times when you're going to be afraid. Pastors get afraid. You know that? There are things that will make you afraid, and there will be times when people are afraid, and they want you to join in their fear. There's all sorts of things to be afraid of in church, and they'll come to you, Pastor Adam, and they will say, we didn't make the budget last month. The giving is down. These people are going to the other church. Their pastor wears skinny jeans, and everything is cooler. Pastor Adam, the economy, the Republicans, the Democrats, do something! You think I'm joking? Be steady. Keep your head. There will be times when you get angry. Not at anybody in this room. But there will be times when you get angry, and there will be people who are angry and want you to join in their anger. Did you hear what he said? Did you see what they wore? Did you see the music? Can you believe that decoration? Do you know what they're doing? They're going to another church. Can you believe this shall not stand in my church? I will redirect my giving. I will go to the elders. I will talk to the board. I need to make it to lunch early. I demand action. Be steady. Because as silly as those examples are, okay, these aren't real examples that I'm giving you. As silly as those examples look to us, in the moment, they will be real. Fear and anger are powerful motivators. And there's a whole host of other emotions that go along with that. Be steady. Keep your head. The correct response to fear and anger, whether it's from inside your own heart or outside of you, is to take a breath and go to the Lord, to ask Jesus and to pray. and to collaborate, because we have an awesome team. Tell me what you're going to do about this, Pastor. I'm going to talk to Jesus about it. I demand action right now, Pastor. Absolutely. I'm going to go pray about it. Would you like to join me? Breathe, pray, collaborate. And I think there are two things that are required for this mindset. This is something that we can all listen to. If you're going to be somebody who is not driven by their emotions, but trusts, but is level-headed, but is steady, you need two things. An immense faith that God loves this church, and he has a plan for this church, and his plan is what is best for that church, even if it doesn't quite fit my plan. Number two, integrity. When you are walking in righteousness, when you have nothing to hide, when you do everything out in the open, you can perform your ministry without fear or favor. You can show love without prejudice. You can preach the gospel without fear. And I was on the pastor search committee for that year and a half that we looked for Pastor Adam. We looked through a lot of resumes. If I remember correctly, there was over 150 people that applied to this position. It was unmistakable, the difference between Pastor Adam's resume and those other resumes that we looked. Good pastors, lots of good pastors, lots of other people that we thought about, we pursued, we talked to, ultimately decided that wasn't the way that God wanted us to go. But when we saw Pastor Adam, we saw his resume and then we talked to him, we saw a couple things. We saw an immense love for God's word. We saw a real, genuine love for God's people, and we saw the integrity that we knew was needed so that this church would never veer off the path of righteousness. So that if somebody like myself or Pastor Angel or an elder or a deacon or any one of you came to the pastor and said, I think we should do X, even though it's not quite right, that he was a man who would say, no, we're going to follow God's will and God's word, and all that we do for this church. And I'm so grateful, Pastor Adam, to have you on this team. I'm grateful for that, for all that you bring to this team. Your faithfulness, your integrity, your openness, your humility, all of those things that you can't put on a resume. I mean, you can, but it looks obnoxious, right? The most humble person in the room. That allows you to do what the rest of this verse says. Endure hardship. There will be hardship. I'm sorry. We're going to go through hard times. We're going to go through hard times as a country, as a state, as a community, as a church. Your family might go through hard times. There might be portions of our church that go through hard times. You know what you do when you go through hard times? Endure. There's a great country song that was probably stole this from a poem, but it says, when you're going through hell, keep on moving. And that's what we do. We don't stop. We don't flail. We don't cast blame. We don't turn on each other. We just continue steady and sure. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. There's a lot that this book has for us. This book tells us how to live a life that Jesus calls abundant. It's way beyond the zombie life of walking through your day-to-day, going to work, clocking in, clocking out, watching TV, falling asleep with social media up on your phone, and then getting up and doing it again the next day. But at the core, everything we do, as we want to help and guide people towards that thriving life, at the core of everything we do is the gospel. Adam, I know, has already demonstrated that that is center in his ministry. And discharge all the duties of your ministry. The Greek translation, or the Greek word in there actually is, it's a word that means to fill up. But not just fill up, but fill up to the brim, right? Like when you maybe you only allow yourself one Coke a day, right? Or one glass of Coke a day. And so you're going to fill that all the way up to the top of the glass. You're going to get everything out of it. Get everything out of your ministry. Take every opportunity, don't turn down God's work for yourself. And this goes beyond our passage, but if you do that, Adam, you're going to be in the same place that Paul is. Paul is actually, he knows he's about to be executed as he's writing this book, this letter to Timothy. And this is what he says in verse 7. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now, there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only this, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. When you stay faithful, when you stay true to God's word, God has incredible things in store for you. Whether you're the pastor, whether you're a deacon, whether you're one of our amazing kids workers, whether you're doing anything else, helping hands, we have so many behind the scenes people here at this church. I can't even list them all. If I had a list, I'd still miss people. Do what you're doing to the greatest extent for the Lord Jesus, and at the end of it, you'll be able to say, I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished the race God has given me, and I know I have something great in store for me. I'm going to pray as the music team comes forward. We're going to pray that God works in all of us, the spirit of unity, so that Pastor Adam's work here can be a joy, not a burden, that he would effectively minister to you, to me, to all of us, and that God's spirit would then work through us to our community. Let's pray. Father, we want exactly that. We want to be a light in this dark place. Where so many people need the light of Jesus, we want to be a demonstration of your love, of your kindness, of your integrity. We want to be a demonstration of what it looks like to be steady in the storm, so that we could point others to a life that is so much better than the lie the world has given them. Father, show us what we need to change in our own hearts. Help us to have reconciliation. Help us to ask forgiveness where we've hurt each other. And restore us, God, so that we can be a healthy and whole picture of what the church is supposed to be. Under the leadership of Pastor Adam, Pastor Angel, the whole elders, give us the grace, Lord, to be a beacon of light in this community that is undeniably in love with and oriented toward Jesus Christ.